This daf is daf samech vav. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara yesterday had quoted a machlokas amongst the Tanaim how to darshan the psukim with regards to the various grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kimifugi." What exactly is the machlokas? So the Gemara just explains what was the nafkamina really. So Gemara, we look at Rashi for a moment. "B'mai kimifugi." Tana de Rabbi Yishmael demaisi le salam lerubui rosha arach. So he had used the word salam, that type of grasshopper, to include a elongated head, grasshopper with an elongated head. Vayisalei chagav lemute tzirter, and the chagav was an extra word, and that was coming to exclude the tzirter. V'tan de brisa kamai, so the first brisa the mibayle kula legufai. He thought it wasn't coming to exclude anything. Each word was meaning to teach us something about that particular animal itself. So the Gemara asks again, "B'mai kimiflagi? Tana de Beirav, v'tana de Beirav Yishma. What was their machlokas? What was the nafkamina? Berosh aruch kimiflagi. That they're arguing about a grasshopper with a long head, whether or not that was going to be included in one of the mutter grasshoppers or not. Tana de Beirav Rav Savar. He held." Asher lo karayim is klal. When the pasuk describes asher lo karayim, that it has these legs, that's a klal. That's a general statement. Arbe salam mechargol chagav liminayu prat. And those are specific types of animals. That's a prat. So we have the rule that prat, the klal of prat, when there's a klal and then there's a prat, ein bechlal elama shebefrat. We only have, even though the klal comes to include everything, but then the pasuk begins to single things out, so then the klal becomes limited to that which is in the prat. So shebefrat demine in, delav demine lo. Only that which is specified in the pasuk is going to be included, and something that's not in the pasuk is not going to be included. So that's understanding of a wumpshot, klal of prat. But then the Gemara says, and comes to include something that is similar to it on both sides here. Has to be similar to it in both those two different dinim. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rashi delav dimine lo, the hilka chad michavri lo asi, has to be where the only thing that's going to be included is, if it's similar to all the specific grasshoppers that are listed in there, only that's going to be included there. So Rashi explains, kol de dami le hilka salam asi mi arbe v'chargo kidamrinan, v'aisele the rosha arach. So since chargal is, since salam can be learned out from the arbe and chargal together, it must be that the salam is extra, and that comes to include rosho arach. But then the Gemara says, that's all according to Tana de Bei Rav, it's a klal uprat. But Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Asher lo karayim is a klal. Ar besalam chargal chagav, these are all prat. And then limineu, it says in the pasuk limineu as well, that's chazar uklal, that's a final klal on the end. And then we could invoke the drush of klal uprat uklal, iata dan ella kena prat. So then once it has a klal and prat, but then there's a second klal, that klal is able to expand the prat beyond. And we say, umar bekol de damile bechad sad. And therefore, all you really need, you can include anything that only has one thing. It doesn't have to be similar to all the items mentioned, but as long as it's similar to one of the items mentioned, one of the prats that are mentioned, then that's going to be included. And therefore, that is the nekudas machlokas between Tana de Bei Rav and Tana de Bei Yishmael, whether this is a klal prat, or whether it's a klal, prat, uklal. So the Gemara says, wait a second, v'hallo dami klal akama l'klal basra. You can't make such a drasha because the first klal is not similar to the last klal. Why? So the Gemara explains, it says that klal akama, the first klal that's mentioned in the Torah, asher lo karayim amarachmana di'islei achol di'lesei lo teichal. So the first klal is telling me if it has these karayim, if it has these legs, so that can be eaten. If it doesn't have the legs, it can't be eaten. And klal basra ad the shava barba simanim. The second klal, that which it says limineu, has to have all four simanim. We said the legs and the wings and then the jumping legs and then covering most of the body. So that is a very different klal. The klal brass is very different than that of the klal kama. So the Gemara says, Tanid be Rabbi Shmuel, bechlal uprat ki agavna dun. Rabbi Tanid be Shmuel actually learned such a drasha, even though the klal kama and the klal brass are different from each other, nonetheless, Rabbi Shmuel does learn such a drasha. V'damrina nami ba'amma, when we say in general that dun tanet bar Yishmael, b'chal prati ki agavna, it's mehacha. This is the very source, this is how we know, hishita, that tanet bar Yishmael learns a klal prato klal, even though the klal kama and klal bas are very different, he still is able to invoke such a drasha. Okay, the Gemara now says, quoting from what we saw earlier, yesterday's daf, the Gemara says, Amar Mar Ishmo Chagav. So if you it's called the Chagav, so then you're able to eat it. We said part of the criteria of saying a good grasshopper is in addition to the four simanim, it also has to be called the Chagav. And that's why the Taz says, Bizman Azet, since we don't have a Masorah, what's actually called the Chagav, what's not, we can't eat them. So Gemara says, in that Havamina, that has to be called the Chagav, has to be called this type of grasshopper, Yachal Ein Bo Kol Simanim Halalu. One may think, if it doesn't have any of these simanim, it doesn't have the wings and the legs and so on, and yet it's called a Chagav, maybe it should still be permitted. Tamalomer liminehu has to be like the mineim, the species that are mentioned, achihupo kol hasimanim halalu, until it has all the four simanim of the grasshopper. Ainbo kol simanim halalu mehichatesa. So fine. So that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara says ainbo kol simanim halalu mehichatesa. Wait a second. If it didn't have the simanim, what would the Havamina to be think is permitted? The pasuk clearly lists Salam and Arba and so on, so clearly you need Simanim. How is there a Havamina to think that if it didn't have the Simanim, you could eat it, if it's called the Chagav, Mehechatesi? So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Arba v'charba ksiv, it's written Arba and Charga on the pasuk. And Elo kasiv Salam kedekamras, if it didn't say Salam, like it's correct what you're saying. Meaning you didn't need the pasuk to write Salam because Salam would have been learned out from Arba v'Chargel. Hashadiksiv Salam. So Salam is unnecessary in the pasuk. It's superfluous. Because Arba and Chargel are the only two types of grasshoppers needed. Every other one would have been included. It could have been implied from these two. So you didn't need to read Salam. But now that it wrote Salam unnecessarily in the pasuk, Hashadiksiv Salam, Lirbuye Rosho Arach. So we learned above that Salam is extra. It's not needed in Lagufo to Neu something. I teach it to something else. So we're teaching it to come to include the Ribuye Rosho Arach. It's coming to include a grasshopper with a long head. So once we're saying Salam's including a Rosho Arach, Ema Lirbe Nami Koldehu. Maybe it would come to include all types of grasshoppers, even if they don't have any of these simanim. And for that reason, Kamash Malan has to be Limineu. Chagav only works as a simon if it has the all other four simanim as well. Says the Gemara now around eight lines up, Maishna Hosam, the Amr Salam Ze Rasho Nchargal Ze Nifl. How come in one place we define the word Salam as one type of grasshopper and Chargal as a different type of grasshopper? Maisha Hacha, but here in a different place, a different location, Damris Salam Ze Nifl, Chargal Ze Rasho. They call them the opposite names. So which one is which? And the Gemara answers, Mar Ki Asre, Mar Ki Asre. There really is no, there's a machlok is what to call what, but each place would call them differently. I mean, in the end of the day, they both agreed which grasshoppers were permitted, but they just argued what you would call it. So Mar Ki Asre, it's really a machlok is in how they would refer to the different types of grasshoppers. Now this is a Mar Ki Asre is a svar the Gemara used in several other places. This happens to be just a side point for a moment. There's an interesting mugging of Ram Halach Lamaisa that says how one should count Sfiras Omer based on this. Do we count Shlosh V'Esim, or should you say Esim V'Shalosh? So the Magen Ram says it depends on the Gemara in Yuma, which uses the same language as the Machlok, is how do you count the Kohen Gadol who sprinkles the blood for the Yom HaKippurim? Do you do Achas, Achas V'Shaim, Achas V'Shalosh, or do you do Shalosh V'Achas? So he says, Mar Ki Asre, depends how you count in each place. So says the Magen Avraham, if you count in a place, you count 23, or you count 320, so that would tell you how you should count Sfira. So according to that, since we count in America, we say 23, we say 35, we should actually count Shloshim V'Chamesh, we should count Esim V'Shalosh, but in fact we really don't. So even though it goes against Halacha, even though we really should be counting the big number before the smaller number, the practice nonetheless is to count with Shalosh V'Esim and so on and so forth. Fine. Gemara now says, last five lines of the Amadir, Ubedogim kol sheish l'snapi v'kaskeses. The pasuk tells us that a kosher fish has to have both fins and scales in order for it to be kosher. So Gemara says, so we already discussed birds, we discussed behemoths, we discussed birds, we discussed grasshoppers, now we're discussing fish rather. So Gemara quotes a braisa, Tanur Rabban. Ein lo achshav, let's say currently there is no, they don't have any scales. However, but you know this type of species of fish, eventually it's going to grow the skin, the scales later on. Kigong, what are some examples? The Gemara says, Hasotanis. If you look at Rashi, this is fascinating. Look at Rashi, Hasotanis is not fascinating, but Min Dagim Ketanim Belaz Tunini. It's tuna, referring to tuna fish. There's actually a discussion in the poskim whether or not you're allowed to have tuna fish, because apparently the scales of the tuna fish are very hard to see. They're very small. They debate whether or not if their scales are not visible without a microscope, whether that's considered scales or not. And the poskim say, if you can't see the scales with the naked eye, that's not called scales. It has to be where it's visible without the scales. So that's this is a discussion of tuna fish. Apparently tuna fish doesn't have scales that are so visible immediately. It happens to be a different discussion in terms of tuna nowadays. When you buy canned tuna fish, it's all cooked. It was cooked already. The question becomes, is that a violation of Bishul Akum? It's not cooked by a Jew, the tuna fish in some of the companies. Is that a violation of Bishul Akum? And it depends on one of the heterim of Bishul Akum is, either has to be something that's nechal chai. If it's eaten raw, so then it's not subject to bishul akum. Water, for example, I drink water cold, I drink water hot. Apples, baked apples, I eat apples raw, eat it baked. So something that's nechal chai, something that's eaten raw, is not subject to bishul akum. The other heter is if it's ein ola al shulchan malachim, if it's not served on the table of a king, it's not chashiv, that's also not subject to bishul akum. So the debate becomes, tuna fish is not known served a can of tuna fish at a wedding, at a king's palace. So some contend, therefore, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. There would be another heter. Now that sushi is so prevalent, tuna fish is also nechachali. It's eaten raw. So the question becomes, how prevalent does it have to be? Which is eaten more? Is it raw fish eaten more than cooked fish? I would imagine that cooked fish, tuna fish, is eaten still more than raw fish, but times are changing, and the Shach says that what's considered nechachai, what's considered ol al shulchan malachim, is an example of something that's a kol lefi hazman, a kol lefi hamakom, depends on where and when. But either way, that's an interesting discussion in the poskim about canned tuna fish, whether it's subject to Bishul Akum. But the Gavi, our discussion, tuna fish, as mentioned here in the Gemara here, it apparently doesn't have scales immediately, at least they're not noticeable immediately, and later on they're going to grow. So, and another example, the Gemara says, Vahefayin or something, I'm not sure what that is. So the Gemara says, Hareze Mutter, that's Mutter, since eventually they're going to have scales. That's it? No, I'm about to, I didn't turn yet. Yeah, I moved my hand, but I didn't actually flip the page. But then it says, let's say Tiyeshla Achshav. Let's say it currently does have scales, and V'yosid LaHashiran B'Shash Olam Inamayim. It's going to come out of the water. The scales are going to fall off when it comes out of the water. Kigon, they say Akunas V'Apunas Kaspatias V'Achsaptias V'Atunis. All these different types of things. I don't know what they are. The Rashi says they're Persian names. I believe one of them might be a swordfish. I think a swordfish is a classic example of a fish that has scales in the water, but it removes it. They fall off when it falls out of the water. They talk about swordfish here at all? No?
No, when I grew up, it was
Okay, I did not grow up such a way. But so that's a discussion. So that Gemara says as well, Hareza Mutter, that's also Mutter, because as long as they had scales in the water, that is going to be permitted. Fine. So Gemara then says, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Nida, so Kol Sheyeshlo Kaskeses Yeshlo Sinapir. Any fish that has scales, so it of course has fins. Now, of course, the din is has fail. It has fins as well. All you really have to check is the scales, and Mimela, you know it has fins. So let's say you have a sliced fish, and you can't see the fin. It was just a piece of a fish, but you see the scales on the skin, you know for sure it also has fins. Every scaled fish has fins. However, Sheyeshlo Sinapir, Vein Lo Kaskeses. There are fish that do have fins, but don't necessarily have scales. The Yeshla Kaskas of Yeshla Snapir, if it has scales and has fins, Dag Tahor, it's considered a kosher animal, kosher fish. Yeshla Snapir, Vein Lo Kaskas, Dag Tame. So if it has fins and doesn't have scales, so then it's not kosher, it's a Dag Tame. So Gemara says, wait a second, Michti. Akaskas come Samchinam. So all we really care about is scales. Because every scaled fish has fins. So we really don't care about fins anymore. Just look at the scales. Why does it say, Licht Rachmana Kaskeses below Licht of Sinapir? Sinapir is completely unnecessary. All it depends on scales. Now, Gemara explains as follows. This is a similar structure, Gemara, we have in Maseches Kedushin, referring to Sachir and Konei Olam, right? Kinei Olam, different types of Avadim. So the Gemara says, "E kasev achmana kaskeses." If lo kasev sinapir, if it said simply scaled or used the word kaskes in the Torah and didn't use the word sinapir, habamina, I would have defined the word my kaskeses sinapir. I would have said, "You know what kaskeses means?" I could have defined it as a fin. Ve'afil dag tome, and I would have interpreted if it's a fin, then even non-kosher fish have fins, and that would also be kosher. So therefore, kasev achmana sinapir v'kaskes, the Torah had to list both of them separately to tell me that no, one is finned and one is the scale. If it only had one of them, I would have interpreted it to mean only fins for some reason. So the Gemara says, v'hashid the kasev achmana sinapir v'kaskes. So now that we established that there have to be two simanim, the Torah says there's something called sinapir and there's something called kaskeses, sumimadi kaskeses levushu. How do you know that the word kaskeses means scales? Maybe kaskeses really means fins and sinapir really means scales. I mean, once the Torah tells you two simanim, you know for sure it has to be fins and scales. But how do you know which is which? And the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. The chsiv, the pasuk tells us, the pasuk that appears in Shmuel Alf, it says, the shiryon kaskasim hu lavush, that he wears something with kaskasim, means that this kaskasim is something that's worn on the outside, and therefore it means some type of scale. V'lichta rachmana kaskasim v'lo lichto sinapir. So then the Gemara says, why not simply write? So now that we've established that kaskasis does mean scales, it means something on the outside, and that we know from another pasuk that's the Indian, so we never would have thought if the word kaskasis was used only. So now that we know from the pasuk in Shmuel Alf, it has to refer to the levush, so there's no confusing what kaskasis means. And since it only really depends whether the fish have scales or doesn't have scales, remove the word sinapir from the pasuk. And the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Boho, V'chein Tan Deber Yishmal, Yag Yotar V'yadir. You're right, we really don't need this extra pasuk, but simply just to have more psukim, have more words to learn, that's why the Torah had this extra word, which is really a last resort. We don't really like to say this, apply this in, and usually there is a reason and meaning behind every single word, but on a few occasions, the Gemara does invoke Yag Yotar V'yadir. It just simply be marbet to Torah, to increase learning, is a good enough reason, even though it's unnecessary. Take a look at very interesting tosas on top here. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeses v'yesh lo sinapir. V'im tomar, minayin hayal lehem zeh l'chacham. How did the chacham actually know? Halach l'maisa. There are thousands, if not millions, of types of species of fish throughout the world. How do they know that every single fish with a scale also had fins? How do they know this? V'chein le'el, we learned in earlier daf, d'tanya, she'ein b'mine dogim t'meim ela zayin meyos. There are only 700 types of non-kosher species. Minayin hayal lehem shetir b'kachas shar. How do they know if you can identify the 700 non-kosher fish, every other fish that's not there is kosher? How did the Chacham know this to permit the rest of the fish? V'lek lemeimar. Now this is really interesting. You can't say that the Adam shekar lehem shemos kimlu, that Adam, when he gave names to all the animals, so we have a masor from Adam of these different halachas, these different details. Kimle, Shehachi Shemasiladoros, they passed it on to generations, all these different yesodos in the biology of fish. Kach, Shem Temeim Shekenhu Hikirs Kulum, because he recognized all them. Deha, Lo Mashma Bimikra, Shekara Shemos Ela Lebehemos Laofos. Simple shot in the pasuk is he only called the behemos and the birds, but he never called the fish any names. Shafa Pi, Sheyad the Shmosha Kadash Baruchu, Kididashina, Nani Hashem, Shekara the Adam Arishon, Bidagim Mia Lo Ashkechen. We never find that he called the fish any names. So how in the world did the Chacham know this clout? The Yesh Lomer, he says, Mikol Asher Yikra Loha Adam, Yesh Rabos Afil Dagim. Even though the Pasha Pshah and the Pasuk doesn't sound like he called all the fish names, there's an extra Pasuk, he says, Mikol Asher Yikari Lo, that includes that Adam even called the fish names, and that was the Masorah that they had all the way back to Adam Arishon. Viklamem, or others say, Dimi Adam Kimlu. So, and there's room to say that we have the tradition all the way back, dating back to Adam Arishon. If it didn't date back to Adam, at least it dated back to Moshe Mishinai, and that's where they have the tradition of every single fish with a kaskeses, Mimela has a sinapir as well. Mar now tells us back inside, halfway down the Amadir Tanura Banan, the Mashma Shinemar, Ochel Sheishlo, Shemeani Atochesh Sheinlo. So this pasuk going back, this is describing the. This is describing the grasshopper. No, this is on the fish again. So any animal that has the Sinapir kaskeses, you could eat it. So, but that which doesn't have it, so we don't eat it. So then the Gemara says, from the fact that it says, that don't eat that which does not have these two simanim, the dagim, shemeani, I would know, achel esheyeshlo, that which does have the kaskasis and sinapir, one may eat. So lama shanan, why does the pasuk say both the positive and the negative? We could infer one from the next. So the Gemara explains, you're right, we don't really need it, but lavor alav asay v'lov sasay. To tell me that a person eats non-kosher fish, he's violating both an asay of not eating kosher fish, and lov sasay of eating non-kosher fish. So then the Gemara says, now we're going to, this is a little tricky how to read the next few lines here, but the Gemara is now getting back to the topic of shratzim that appear in the water. So we're learning from the halachas of the dog and what's permitted and what's not permitted by the fish. We could also learn from there, extrapolate, dinim relating to bugs that grow or germinate in the water. So the pasuk just says, read the pasuk inside just to be clear what we're talking about here. The pasuk tells us that ezet tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, from this you should eat of that which is found in the water. Kol asher lo sinapir v'kaskasis, that which has a fin and scales, b'mayim, b'yomim, b'nechalim, osam tochelo, that which is found in the water, that which is found in the rivers, all of that you're able to eat. So then there's another pasuk that says, v'chol asher ein lo, that which does not have sinapir v'kaskasis, b'yomim v'nechalim, mikol sheret hamayim, u'mikol nefesh achaya, shebamayim sheketim lehem. So then anything that doesn't have a fin or scale, that would be an inin of shratzim. So now the Gemara says, after having those two psukim in the back of our heads, the Gemara says, tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, one should eat that which is in the water. Ma tamalamer, what are we learning from this? Sheyacha, one may think, ho v'hitir b'mefurash, v'hitir b'stam, since one place the pasuk had explicitly had been matir something, and another place it was more hidden what was matir. We're going to define what these terms mean in just a moment. That which, when they permitted eating certain bugs, it was only permitting it if they germinated in kalim, if they germinated in a kli. Af kishahitir b'stam, so too when they permitted it in the stam case, lo hitir ela b'kalim, it was only permitted in a case of kalim. So again, this is still unclear. The Gemara is going to explain what this all means. How do I know you could include even bugs and shrutzim that are found in waters and pits and different caves that don't flow in the flowing water, that you could drink from those places as well and not concerned with any bugs that grow there? Tamalomar, the pasuk says, tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. So you're including all that which is found in the water. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says as follows, heichan hitir b'kelim, where do we find ever that the Torah permits you to drink water and the bugs that germinate in the water if it's found in kelim? If I have a cup of water and bugs begin to develop, how do you know I'm allowed to drink from such water? So the chsivit pasuk says, ezet ochlu mikol asher b'mayim. This is what you should eat. Only that which has fins and scales you should eat. And the Gemara says, when is that true? Only b'yam v'necholim, who, if it's found in flowing water, d'chi ishlei ocho, when it has the fins and scales, you may eat it, but the d'leslei lo tochel. But if it doesn't have skins and fins and scales, then you cannot eat it. But that's all only true if it's found in flowing water, yamim b'necholim. But haba kalim, but if it's found in kalim, if it's found in a jar of water, afa giav d'leslei, even though it doesn't have fins and scales, ocho, you're allowed to eat it. So that's the pasuk that says, if it's the implication at least, but kalim, you could eat the drink the water even though there are bugs in those kalim. So Gemara says, how do you know that's the correct inference? Ema, but kalim, maybe you should infer if it's kalim, afal gam de islay, even though the fish do have fins and scales in kalim, lo telcha, you shouldn't eat them at all. Maybe that's maybe the proper implication of the pasuk. Gemara says, lo saka daitach, no one ever thinks such a thing, that if the fish of a water of kalim should be aser. D'chsib, because the other pasuk tells us, v'chol asher ein lo sinapir v'kaskeses, b'yomim v'necholim, mikol sher tamayim. So every fish that doesn't have fins and scales, you shouldn't eat. So b'yomim v'necholim, d'lasli, only if it's in a flowing water, one may not eat it. Lo techil. But haba kalim, but if this type of fish, or sherets, doesn't have sinapir v'kaskeses, is in kalim, afagab d'lasli, achel, one's allowed to eat it or drink it. So we learn from all this again that if bugs germinate in the water of kalim, there is no chashash, there's no violation of eating a sheret. So the only time you need fins and scales is only if it's in flowing water. Now this is very relevant, of course, for like the New York City water and the bugs that are found there. This is part of the conversation of bugs found in water. So the Gemara now says, last few lines of the Amud here, Ema b'mayim klal. Maybe we could just say the following. It says in the Pasuk b'mayim, that when do you require fins and scales, if it's found in mayim, in water, that's a general statement, that's a klal. And then the Pasuk specifies, b'yamim v'necholim, waters that are flowing, that's a prat. And then we should invoke klal uprat, Ema klal el mashe b'frat. We only have that which is mentioned, that which is singled out. Yamim v'necholim in, only if it's found in these waters, these rivers, niyatim v'charitim lo. But if it's found in these, ditches and ditches that are like man-made, so maybe that would not have these dinim of requiring fins and scales. And then the pasuk says, b'mayim, it says b'mayim again at the end of the pasuk, chazer v'klal, has a final klal, and then we have a klal prado klal, so we invoke that concept, that even in niitzim v'charitzim, that too, even though they're man-made types of channels, that also have the same dinim of requiring fins and scales. So the Gemara says, no, because honey tre klali disam chiladadi ninu, these two klalim, these two general statements are next to each other, and we seemingly wouldn't invoke the concept of klal prado klal when they're next to each other. And the Gemara says, no. Amarava, Rava says that Amaravina kidamri b'marava, like they say in Eretz Yisrael in the West, whenever you have two klalos, two general statements next to each other, we're able to say hitil prat, even though they're adjacent, says my next to each other, you could still take the prat of a yamim and necholim, taking that out of place, and hitil benayim, and place it in between the klal, the beginning and the klal, the end. V'danim b'klal prat klal, then you can invoke a klal prat klal, and say b'mayim is klal, b'yamim v'necholim is prat, b'mayim chazar, then you have a final mayim at the end, b'klal, then you have a klal prat klal, yet adan elakin a prat, ma prat mefurish, b'mayim novim, just like the prat, the ones mentioned, are yamim v'necholim, which are flowing waters, and you can't drink the shkasim in those flowing waters, af kol mayim novim, so to all other flowing waters, are going to be, you can't drink the, you can't eat the bugs that are there. My Rabbi, so what's being included in addition to Yom Nechalim, Charitim v'Neitim, these types of man-made channels are usher as well, Isura. Umay mi, what's being excluded, the Gemara says, Boros, Shichin, Maros, Letera. These are not waters that flow, they're basins, they're pits, they're caves that are holding onto the water. Those are permitted, those shkatzim found in those waters are going to be permitted. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up on Sunday. Everyone have a